It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter, brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and hope that you enjoy this morning's show. It's going to be a fun one, as I am going to talk to a longtime friend of mine by the name of Eric Bow, who is one of the leading, really great sportsmen of the American West and an avid conservationist, but who did something this past week that only happens once in a life, and that is he took his daughter on her first big game hunt high in the mountains of the Northern Rockies. And I thought it would be kind of a neat experience for us this morning to relive the time that both maybe we took our own kids on our first hunt or our grandkids, but also to talk about what it is like to really, truly hunt for big game high in the mountains of the American West with your daughter for the first time. So, Eric, thank you for joining me this morning on the Great Outdoors Show.
Thank you, Charlie. Pleasure to be here. And, yes, I'm still glowing from the experience we had last weekend. My daughter and I were lucky. We were fortunate, but at the same time, we put our hard work in, and I give her all the credit because, being a 13-year-old girl, lots of distractions out there, let's just say, and I just feel very blessed that we were able to spend that time together. And when I mean time, what I really have been telling people is this past Sunday when she took her first elk at 258 yards with a little 7mm.08, great little gun for kids. There were so many months that led up to that, and I think that's what I'm most proud of. Crosby started last spring break with her online hunter safety course, and we were down in Florida enjoying the sun at our in-law's house, and I made it clear that, this hunting is not about driving out somewhere, finding an animal, and pulling the trigger, but this is serious, and if you're going to take a life, you need to be prepared to the best of your ability, and that starts with taking the hunter safety course seriously. And I was so impressed because, we're sitting down there in spring break and she's doing her online course. I think it was, 20 or 30 hours at least. And that's where this all began. And basically, I knew right away that she was committed. And I've been real careful. I don't push kids to embrace what's been so meaningful in my life, but rather I try and open doors for kids and let them experience what has been so meaningful in my life and friends and like Charlie's. And so anyway, I think what was neat is that she did her online course, spent all the time. I helped her when she needed it. She passed with flying colors, came back, had during soccer season, had to do her field day. So she spent a whole day out there in the field. And then more importantly, I said, if you're going to draw an elk tag, and if you're so fortunate to draw an elk tag, you need to prove to me that you're serious, and that includes spending every weekend of the summer shooting. And I said, I'm not going to ask you. You're going to have to remind me that we need to do this. And it was really an awesome experience because every Sunday all summer, we went out to the range and put some targets up and talked about safety, of course, and talked about all the things that can be dangerous about firearms. And when you add the excitement of an actual live target, that things happen, and you need to know this firearm like the back of your hand. And so I was really proud of the fact that we spent all summer shooting. I would reenact scenarios, say, okay, Crosby, there's an elk out there 200 yards. Here's your shooting sticks. Here's your backpack. Go find a spot to get comfortable and concealed. And so I really tried to help her understand what a real life scenario would look like. And I think that helped a lot because when it came time to pull the trigger, obviously, a lot of excitement, hearts racing, winds howling, animals are starting to become aware that something's not right.
Let me ask you for a second, Eric. Mm-hmm. Visiting with Eric Bowe, who's describing taking his 13-year-old daughter on her first elk hunt high in the northern Rockies of the United States. Eric, let me ask you, so frame up a little bit. You've described in many ways why there are so few kids entering the sport of mm-hmm. field shooting because of what's required. And as a dad, you made sure your daughter really was ready to go when it was time. And you described the hours you put in. And as you know, most families won't do that, which is why mm-hmm. we are seeing such a steep decline in the number of kids who are hunting. But so frame up a little bit. I mean, it's cold. Was this a high mountain experience? You know, how far mm-hmm. were you all hiking? And you got a 13-year-old girl, and were you in a camp at night? Or we've got a couple of minutes before the break, but I would love to just kind of get a sense, because your daughter will never forget this, and you'll never forget it, obviously. And for so many of our listeners, we have those kind of experiences, or we're going to have them. So was the snow mm-hmm. flying? What was it? What was it like?
You bet, Charlie. So it was about a 90-minute commute from our house to the unit where her tag was. So we chose to sleep in the comforts of our home. We hunted 3 days. The alarm went off at 4 a.m. all 3 days. She bounced out of bed. I had hot chocolate ready, and we even went and got donuts and things to enhance the experience and make sure she got out of bed.
Gotta have a donut.
We were hunting... really hunting the high desert, and so that can be both good and bad. Good in that you can see so much. Elk aren't timbering as much in that country. So bad in that it's really hard to conceal yourself. So that high desert hunting is very challenging, and it became clear that getting close to an animal is very difficult in that country. And so, you know, we spent a lot of time belly crawling, a lot of time in the sagebrush, a lot of time checking the wind, because the wind is predominantly out of the west out here, as you know, Charlie, in the mornings. And so we were able to locate animals, but getting close was another story. And so when we finally, on Friday of Thanksgiving weekend, we got to within 180 yards of 12 elk, and the wind was just wrong. And it was swirling, and these animals started to move, and she was trying to decide if she should shoot or not, and I made it very clear that we don't shoot at moving animals. And it was hard. It was hard for her. It was hard for me. I didn't know if we'd have another opportunity. But now I look at it as such an important part of this process, because she passed on what could have been a bad situation. Winging an animal is nothing anybody wants to do. And when they're in a group and they're moving, I didn't want her first experience to be a bad one. Things happen hunting, of course, but I was very, very clear that we were not going to take any shot that was not the perfect shot. So if you fast forward then to Sunday, we did the same routine. I knew we had our work cut out to us to get us within 200 yards. We were not able to, but we did. I did range an elk at 258 yards. There were two elk bedded down in the buck brush. All we could see were ears. It was blowing about 30 right in our face. And the sun was coming up behind us, so those animals were looking right into the sun. And so I knew this was going to be our best opportunity. I was not sure she could shoot accurately from 258 yards repeatedly. She really had not shot more than 200 yards all summer. I explained to her that she just wanted to aim about 6 inches high to play it safe. And
so, Eric, do you know what we're going to do here, Eric? We're going to do what television does. You've come to the suspense, and we're going to take a moment to let Chevrolet let everyone know why they have the best trucks in America and cars. Okay. So we're going to take a quick break, Eric. And when we come back, I would love to hear the end of the story. And then, of course, the part which you haven't told anyone yet is that is the easiest part, is where you're getting to. The hardest part is what comes next. So we'll be back in just a moment. We're visiting with Eric Bowe, who is really describing what I think so many of us cherish, time in the outdoors with our kids. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from our Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Winter is here and it's always tough on the road. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And nothing is tougher than the 2016 Chevy Silverado. Silverado is the longest lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With all steel construction, Silverado is built to tame Chicago's winter weather. And Silverado's towing package offers 11,400 pounds of towing capacity. Perfect for hauling your snowmobiles. I love pulling my neighbors out of their snowdrifts. And right now, you can get $7,250 total savings on a 2016 Chevy Silverado All-Star. $7,250. That really warms my heart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and get all the details. Or head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and pick up a pickup that works as hard as you do, on the road or off. Chevy Silverado is one tough customer.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Your host, Charlie Potter, here on WGN Radio. And hope you're enjoying the visit we're having with Eric Bow, who lives in Idaho, describing his first time experience with his daughter, 13 years old, high in the mountains on her first elk hunt. And if you're just joining us, Eric is, as good theater would have it, was setting up to the point where after 3 days of trying to find an elk that would be in range, early in the morning, they spotted one. So Eric, thanks for doing that. And your timing was perfect for our break. So, okay. You've got one at about 260 yards, right?
That's right. I have my rangefinder at 258. And what was really interesting is that these two animals were bedded down and she just didn't have a shot. And I wasn't going to let her take a shot into a, you know, just a hope. So these animals were looking up the mountain. And so my hunch was that there were more animals down in the valley between these two ridges. We were going to be shooting across one ridge to the other. And so I told her I was going to belly crawl down this ridge about 100 yards to get a better vantage so I could see down into the valley. Frankly, it's unusual just to see two cows together. Usually there's a couple dozen more, and just like geese, they'll have, the centurions up on watch and the other animals bedded or feeding down below. And so, you know, I thought that was going to be the case. So she said, no, don't leave, Dad, don't leave. And I said, listen, I'll be right down the ridge. Don't worry, but if that animal stands up, I need you to focus. And all I told her, her only job was to, of course, not slap a trigger. We never slap a trigger. We squeeze a trigger. And her job was to reload. And my job was to watch the animal and see if she had made a good shot. You know, one of the pros and cons of hunting with kids is, one, it's much easier to draw an elk tag. I mean, that's one of the best things about this youth hunt program around the West. I would say the odds are 2 out of 3 kids draw. Same unit for me to draw that elk tag, I would say 1 out of about 15. So really neat opportunities in the West to get these kids hunting. And at any rate, one of the cons is, though, these guns, I wanted her to be comfortable with this firearm, and it's a great firearm. It can absolutely knock down an elk as it did, but you really need to make a good shot because these are not 300 Win Mags or 338 Lapua. They're 7mm 08 or 6.5 Creedmoor, a little lighter, you know, 140 grain bullet, very much at the upper end of lethal for a big animal like an elk. And so frankly, I did crawl down that ridge, and sure as could be, the elk spun its head over, looked right at me, stood up. I looked down the ridge at my daughter. She looked at me. I gave her the thumbs up. And she took the safety off. She had been situated Indian style with shooting sticks, completely concealed in the sagebrush. And I knew this was it. And she fired. It was a good shot. She did exactly what I had hoped, where instead of, you know, looking for the animal to fall, or you know, like we do duck hunting, you shoot or you miss because you're looking, you're peeking, right? She did exactly what I had hoped and really emphasized all summer, and that was she didn't even look. She ejected the round. She reloaded. She got back on target. She sent it downrange, and that shot dropped the animal dead in its tracks. So at this point, there were tears, there were high fives, there were, you know, absolute excitement, a moment that will, you know, be crystallized in my life as one of my favorite, you know, top five moments of my life. Brought back memories from when I was that age, hunting northeast Montana with my dad and my grandfather. And, you know, my dad died at a young age, and those are some of my most cherished memories. And so, as Charlie and I talked about, that's the fun part. From that point forward, it's 9:30 in the morning. Yes.
About the next 90 seconds, how far did you and your young daughter have to then take the meat, skin the hide, tan, you know, get the animal prepared? How far did you have to pack that animal out?
We packed that animal out about 3 miles over multiple hills. And so the best way to describe it is when we started cleaning the animal, it was 9:30 in the morning, and the two of us packed all four quarters out and the bag of back straps and tenderloins, and we were back with the second load at the truck at 4:30. So,
wow.
Frankly, it was a big day. All she kept asking me is, do I have to go to dry land training tomorrow for ski team? And so I said, yes, actually you do. And so, but it was perfect. We were in the truck before dark. One little side note that was absolutely amazing: when we were leaving, we had just gotten in the truck, my daughter looked at me and said, "What's that?" And I looked 30 yards to my left, and there was the biggest male mountain lion I've ever seen in my life. And
wow.
He was headed right into the wind and headed towards, I believe, you know, where we had just been, into that gut pile. You know, it's very unusual. It's the fourth mountain lion I've ever seen in 25 years of living here. But it was just incredible. Just the icing on the cake for what was truly one of the most memorable days of my life.
Well, Eric, you've described magnificently why it is we go hunting and why it's so much more special when we have a child with us, particularly when
Absolutely.
It's our own. And you have passed on the tradition that I know runs deep in your family, as you know it runs deep in mine, and in so many of you listening, it runs deep in yours. We all have our own various experiences, Eric. And I thank you for sharing with us, particularly since it was your 13-year-old daughter and what she went through to have this happen. So I thank you. One last question in about 4 seconds, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Went to school. Was she one very proud young lady?
You know, I'll just say real quickly that we emphasize no social media. This isn't something we brag about. Something we're proud about, and we'll eat every last bit of that elk. It's in the freezer as we speak. But I also was clear that this isn't something we go brag about and post about, and it's still serious stuff. Taking a life is serious stuff, and not to be taken lightly.
Well, Eric, thank you so much. Eric Bowe, who's a wonderful outdoorsman from the West, and I'm proud to call him a good friend of mine, describes very well what is so special for us and our kids to go hunting. Thanks, Eric. I hope you've enjoyed
thank
the
you,
show
Charlie.
Very much. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more in the great outdoors. There's lots of breaking news coming out of D.C. as far as the future of where we're headed in conservation the next few years, and hopefully I'll have some insights there. Thanks for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.